spread the message. God bless Texas.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Chevy car.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Stand with you. Cowboy stand. No matter how it ends.
And I want the rest of you cowboys to know something. There's a new sheriff in town.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany,
this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
All right, I just think I got done with a coughing fit here. Hopefully I've got it out of my system. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 10th of, what is this month? October. October, you believe that? This is Amy's favorite month here because of Halloween. She's a Halloween fanatic. So maybe she'll, she's still pondering on whether or not to start doing a show again. So we'll have to figure out where we can fit it in if she decides to, or whatever, we'll work it out. But anyway, goodness. Remember I told you Monday that we had some snow and some cold weather? Our high Monday, I think, was 34. Or Sunday, maybe. What was it? Sunday? Yeah, I think Sunday our high was 34. And so that's old news. I already told you all that. But apparently this is, I didn't really think about it too much, but the weather forecasters said that this completely snuck up on them. They admitted to being way wrong. And it is one of the earliest, as a matter of fact, it's one of the top seven, I guess I should say the seventh earliest snowfall in recorded history of the scene. Yeah, since 1898, this is the earliest record, seventh earliest recorded snowfall in northern Arizona since record keeping began in 1898. So they were a little bit off guard when this happened. They had power lines go down because it was a wet, heavy snow and it'd been warm the day before. And if you don't think you can have all four seasons in a day, then come to Arizona. We'll show you how it's done. I'm going to do something that I don't do very often here, except on Fridays. I'm going to change over to my magic format here. No, I'm not either way. I'm going to first go to the chat room and see if we have any. There's a few people in the chat room. And it looks like we've got sound. That was Yeah, Tebow's in there. Tebow's way south of the hurricane that's coming in over there. So, I think he's probably going to be saying, going to get some weather. I mean, some rain, probably some wind. But, other than that, he's pretty safe. Everybody we know in that part of the country is, Chris Ann Hall is down there, but I think she is in Oklahoma doing a class right now. So she's safe. And I believe her family's with her. They frequently are. Hopefully they are. So anyway, this is, we were looking at some pictures and everything of this hurricane. This is quite the deal if you guys haven't been keeping up with this. It is the worst ever hurricane for the category. Hit land as a category 4 since, I think they said, yeah, it's the worst ever. Never happened before in recorded history. Hit in the panhandle of Florida. And, boy, has it done some damage. Jeez, oh, Pete, we were looking at some pictures and it's quite a deal. But, and it's gonna move on. And it didn't hit just as barely as a category 4. It was only 2 miles an hour wind speed from being a cat 5. So it hit pretty hard. And, from the pictures, I'd say it was definitely hit with a vengeance there. Like I said, I'm gonna do something that I don't generally do except on Fridays. I'm gonna switch over here, and I want you to listen to something from Newt Gingrich. I listened to this morning, and You know, Newt's been up and down. He's been good about some things. He's been not so good about others. He's a typical statist, but he's on the on the conservative side of statist. I mean, he's definitely not the worst out there by any means. He's done a lot of good stuff. And I want to play this, and I want you to listen particularly, kind of watch your clock there and listen about, I think it was about 6 minutes and 40 seconds into it or something like that, and listen closely to a quote in there. So give me just a minute to switch everything over, and I want you guys to listen to this. Listen to every word. Pay attention. This is kind of an earth-shaking deal, if you ask me, coming from considering the source here, considering his political stature. This is a quite significant little speech coming from him here. Stand by just a minute.
Thank you for letting me chat with you for a few minutes about what I think is one of the historic turning points in American history. And that is the process underway that would destroy Judge Kavanaugh and in the process destroy America. I know those sound like strong words, but there are moments in time when things come together and crystallize and you suddenly realize that you're at a historic moment. I think that's what we're seeing. This isn't just politics as usual. This isn't pleasant game playing. You know, when Senator Booker says that people who support Kavanaugh are in effect supporting evil, you know there's something profoundly wrong. When you have a senator say men should shut up, all men should shut up, you know there's something profoundly divisive. When a senior Democratic congresswoman who would actually chair a committee if the Democrats took control goes publicly and says, hunt down all the Trump supporters. Hunt them down in gas stations, hunt them down in restaurants, drive them from stores, don't let them appear in public. You know something is profoundly wrong. When you watch a very senior Democratic Senator Feinstein conspire, and there's no other word for it, conspire, in a deliberate manipulation of the Senate involving hiding a letter for months, involving hiding the witness for weeks, involving a whole process totally at variance with the Senate rules, and then apparently somebody on her staff leaked the letter to make sure it got into the media so it could become a media firestorm. What you're seeing is a level of resentment and resistance, which is astonishing. But we've seen it be building since election night 2016. The fact is, the very defeat of Hillary Clinton and the election of Donald Trump, I think, broke the grip on reality of many, many left-wing Democrats. That's why the day after the inaugural, you have Madonna saying that she dreams about the White House burning down and being destroyed. That's why you have the depth of the effort to desperately find collusion with the Russians, which, by the way, Bob Woodward, after 2 years of investigation, the Washington Post investigative reporter, said this weekend he couldn't find any evidence at all. But it didn't matter. It wasn't about evidence. It was exactly what's happening to Judge Kavanaugh. It was about smearing, undermining, distorting, having character assassination. And this has been going on and on and on. And finally, last week, for the country, it became very, very vivid. And all of a sudden, the American people were able to see straight on, without editing, without distortion, without liberal news media interpretation. They were able to watch a process of a decent man, a father of two girls, somebody who had devoted his adult life to helping others, being destroyed by character assassination efforts that were astonishing. And for all those liberals who told us how they worried about bullying, you then watch two women bullying Senator Flake in an elevator, just as earlier you had seen a mob go in and try to drive Senator Cruz out of a restaurant. And what you have going on here is a remarkable moment in American history. And it guarantees that this election this fall is not going to be about President Trump. This election is going to be about what kind of America do we want to become. Do we really want to become an America in which left-wing values are imposed by force, by character assassination, by smears? Do we really want to become an America in which our borders are open, fentanyl and opioids can flood into the country, killing even more young Americans? Do we really want to become an America in which there are sanctuary cities for groups like MS-13, a gang which tortures people with knives? Go down the list. I don't think that's the America we want to become. Or do we want to be a results-oriented America, which is what President Trump has been delivering? Even today, in the middle of the character assassination of Judge Kavanaugh, we saw the president successfully deliver a trade negotiation with Canada and Mexico. So on the one side, you're going to have results in a team led by President Trump. On the other side, you're going to have resistance in a team led by Senator Schumer and Speaker Pelosi. That's how big the gap is going to be. I was struck watching all this, and watching particularly the bitterness and the fact that Byron York has written a column this morning pointing out that the Democrats are already shifting. Now that they think they're going to lose on the sexual harassment question, they begin to raise questions about whether or not the judge, Kavanaugh, was totally honest about how much he drank. And so now they want to open up an entirely new front. There are some Democrats, including Senator Whitehouse of Rhode Island, who said, even if you get confirmed, I'm going to try to find some way to impeach you. I mean, this is an unending war against the American spirit, against the rule of law, against fair play. And apparently on the left, it's not going to stop. So as I was thinking about that, I talked to my good friend, Dr. Alan Guelzo, who's a professor at Gettysburg College, one of the leading authorities on Lincoln and the Civil War. And I was very struck with a quote that Abraham Lincoln made in February 27th, 1860, at Cooper Union. This is a great book on Lincoln at Cooper Union. This was a speech where Lincoln really, for the first time, the country got to see the depth of his thinking. It's a 7,200-word speech. It's outlining the question of slavery and whether or not slavery could be abolished and under what circumstances. And Lincoln personally spent 3 months writing the speech. At one point, having summarized the position of the slave owners, he says the following, and I think it relates directly to the attitude of the totalitarian left, which today threatens democracy and government in America. He says, quote, "Your purpose then, plainly stated, is that you will destroy the government unless you be allowed to construe and enforce the Constitution as you please on all points in dispute between you and us. You will rule or ruin in all events." Close quote. Let me go back to that last sentence because it's so powerful. The fact is that the Democrats showed us, you could see it in the hearings, they are prepared for rule or ruin. If they have to break the Senate rules, they will. If they have to smear Judge Kavanaugh, they will. If they have to assassinate his character, they will. If they have to drive him out of public office, they will. And any senator who stands up to them risk being trapped in an elevator, driven out of a restaurant, harassed in public, because they will rule or ruin. And that's what this campaign and this election is all about. Do we want to become an America dominated by that kind of people doing those kind of things? Or do we want to focus on results? Do we want to keep creating jobs? Do we want to fix the health system with practical, common sense reforms that guarantee a better future for all Americans? Do we want to strengthen our trade policy as we just did with Mexico and Canada in the last 2 days? Do we want to have the kind of leadership that focuses on giving us a better future, or the kind of leadership that focuses on imposing on us a set of radical values? This question of which America, I think, is the heart of the next 5 weeks. And in the Kavanaugh hearings, and the follow-on to the Kavanaugh hearings, as Byron York's article makes clear, the left is showing the ugly face of totalitarianism. They will do whatever they have to. They will break any rule they have to. They will smear any person they have to. So I hope you will decide that you will let your friends know that you will tag for your friends this particular Facebook Live, and you will let people know this is really a struggle for which America we're going to become, what kind of country we're going to become, and what kind of a people we're going to be. Thank you for letting me share this.
Okay, that was very painful to have to listen to that. I'm trying to put enough of it together that I can piece it together for the podcast. I find it extremely, what I need to find is if I still have anybody listening or not after all of that. But what I find here is that it's odd that we were listening to the first one that was doctored up and in the presence of numerous other people. And it played fine. And as soon as I changed it over, right up into the very point where I clicked on play, it started messing up and skipping terribly. So I hope that you guys could put that together. See, the one that played first, that I didn't let finish because it was doctored up so much, it was in the presence of media and, like I said, several other people. The second one that we listened to or tried to listen to was very quite informal setting in his office there, and cameraman or camera person, whoever was doing it, kind of got in the way in the beginning, and you heard Newt right in the very beginning said, "Are we ready?" And it was quite an informal thing. So I maybe it's just a conspiracy theorist in me here, but it just seemed odd that everything worked fine from the beginning when we first started the show right up until the very moment that I pressed play, and then it all went away. And it all seems to be running fine now. So I think that's kind of weird. Benny, we talked about this Monday about the senators and the legislators of various kinds and places there. Will their votes be affected by the threats from the left? And that's exactly what the left is doing. We are very much in a cultural civil war. We're not in a shooting civil war yet. So, you know, there's several people on Facebook say, "Oh, we're in civil war now." Other people say, "No, we're not either. We are." Just as Newt says, we are in a cultural civil war. We are the beginning, anyway, of a shooting war. This was this is how it's getting started. It's just a matter of time. Like Matt Bracken says, we're only one mag dump away from World War II, World War III. And no, that's not what he said. One mag dump away from the Civil War is what he said. I don't know where I got World War from. But for those of you that listen to the podcast, I hope to have this cleaned up and a little more, a little easier to listen to when it comes back on there. So I'll try again. Maybe I'll try to download that and do it differently, and see if I can get a clean copy of it on the podcast. So this podcast may not be available tonight because I'm going to have to do some doctoring here. Anyway, I see Minnie just posted a thing, and I got this link this morning about a typhus outbreak. When I first got it, they said Los Angeles. Now they're saying Long Beach. So I don't know. They're not that far apart. That's a significant deal. Typhus is nothing to play with. There's as far as I'm concerned, they could quarantine the whole area there, and that would work just fine. Anyway, speaking of Brett Kavanaugh and some of the goings-on about that, in Missouri, voters have clearly rejected Senator McCaskill for opposing Kavanaugh. the new poll there finds that the Democratic senator has fallen way behind her Republican opponent due to her opposition to Kavanaugh. The new poll found that of the 1,555 likely Missouri voters surveyed last week, 48% said they were planning to vote Republican, while 46% said they would vote Kaskel. When asked if the opposition to Kavanaugh affected their voting, 49% of those said it made them less likely to vote for the Democratic senator, and only 42% said it made them more likely. So, thought that was kind of interesting there. I'm going to move on. I got other things here that I need to do. We talked about the wolf attacks here in Washington here today. I don't know why Washington is getting such the amount of press here for wolf attacks and wolf depredations and whatnot. New Mexico has had these problems for a lot longer than Washington has. And as a matter of fact, a friend of ours over there is got a little ranch over in Catron County, New Mexico, around Reserve. And he has, as of earlier this year, I don't know what the numbers are right now, but as of earlier this year, one rancher alone, he alone has lost 27 calves, 3 cows, and a bull to wolves. Now, I know several ranchers over in Catron County, and they're all being affected. There's a rancher in Idaho that has virtually been put out of business by wolves. This wolf thing is getting way out of hand. Not only is it at the taxpayers' phenomenal expense, which is bad enough, but now it's putting American ranchers out of business. It's putting Americans in danger. We talked about him running the forest ranger up the tree here a while back. Then there was another attack here just a few days ago, and then there's the two people were just sentenced here, convicted of killing a couple of wolves. This is going to add to our civil war, to add to all the stuff and everything else that's going on. This wolf stuff is not making it any better. So, as a matter of fact, if you go to the Coalition of Western States, go to their Facebook page. We've just released a press release there about a couple of wolf packs up in that area. And they're trying to, they've already, let's see. Yeah, they'd already shot two members of this pack, and they're trying to get all the paperwork and all the red tape out of the way so that they can go ahead and lethally remove the rest of that pack. And they're trying to do it before the Center for Biological Diversity gets a hold of it. Because they will go absolutely crazy when they find out about this. So, stand by for some exciting news coming out of Washington. Exciting news coming out of Virginia. Not really exciting. It's kind of heartbreaking, really. Talk about control and violation of rights. This is astounding. I thought this was something like The Onion or Duffel Blog it wouldn't have been Duffel Blog because it's military stuff, but some type of satire site. But this is a real thing. I have verified it through 3 different sources. In Virginia, it's not even the whole state of Virginia. It's one town. It's in Chesapeake, Virginia. Listen to this. anyone over the age of 12 who is caught trick-or-treating could get jail time. Let that sink in for just a second. This means that your 13-year-old now all of a sudden is too old to go trick-or-treating? Hell, I went trick-or-treating with the kids with other kids, not my children, but other kids when I was young, up until the time I was probably, 15, 16. And I have no idea what the reason for this is. Trick-or-treating over the age of 12 is punishable by a fine of $25 to $100 or up to 6 months in jail. Police say they're not going to... Wow. Where that came from. Jeez. Let me turn that down a little bit. Police say they're not going to enforce this, and if a 13-year-old is trick-or-treating with a younger sibling, for example, they won't be in any trouble. So who makes these laws and the police say, well, they're not going to enforce it. So why did we bother? Why is this even a thing? Why are we even talking about this? It's amazing to me that they are, if you want to trick or treat at 47 years old and people are willing to throw you a piece of candy, well, by damn, go trick or treat. But in Chesapeake, Virginia, if you're over 12, you're going to go to jail. Oh, my goodness. Well, the Muslims are at it again in Florida. Largest food stamp fraud bust in history, $20 million. And all Muslim store owners. This story is it's a week old. 12 Muslims have been charged with running a $20 million food stamp fraud scheme. There you have it. Let's import some more of them in here. The London chief of police is not a sheepdog. He's more like a poodle, maybe. Or maybe Pekingese or something. This happened it happened in March, but this stuff is just coming out here. The Deputy Commissioner of London's Metropolitan Police testified that he witnessed a fellow officer get stabbed to death by a terrorist during the March 2017 attack. It was over a year old, but the story is brand new. And he did not act. He was the acting commissioner for the Metropolitan Police at the time of the attack, gave his account of the event as a part of an investigation into the deaths of the terrorists, Khalid Massoud, and the victims he ran over with his vehicle before fatally stabbing Officer Keith Palmer. He said, I think anyone who came up against that individual would have faced serious, serious injury, if not death. He said, although he had an instinct to get out of the car, he felt that he wasn't properly equipped because he was unarmed and wearing a short-sleeve shirt. Yeah, the long-sleeve shirt would have gone a long ways towards protecting him and giving him something to fight with, for sure. If you're the chief of police, why are you driving around town unarmed anyway? This guy, we talked about this when it happened. He drove his vehicle into pedestrians in Westminster Bridge and then crashed into a barrier. 4 people were killed, 29 others injured. After crashing, the guy ran out of there with 2 knives, running towards the gates where he stabbed the officer. The chief of police was leaving a building at the House of Parliament when he said he heard a loud bang caused by the guy crashing the car. Locked the doors of his vehicle and witnessed Palmer being stabbed. I could see Officer Palmer moving backwards and him going down, he said. Mackey said he locked the doors because he was in a car with two unarmed colleagues. He himself was not armed, and he felt the best thing to do was to look out for their safety while properly equipped officers handled the attack. There was quite a lot of confusion going on, quite a lot of confusion about what was going on. Clearly, the way that the male came in and purposeful way he came, he was clearly a threat. He said he started to get out of the vehicle once officers had shot and killed Massoud, but officers at the scene told him to get to safety and manage the department's response to the attack. So, there you have it. All right, last thing here. You all remember Emma Gonzalez, right? She is the a survivor of the shooting. I don't remember which one it was that happened. They're trying to hang on just a second here. Well, I'll have to recite this. I read the story earlier. But she said in a tweet, here it is. She said in a tweet, "I'm still worried when I drive down the road and I'm not wearing a hat that someone with gun stickers on their car is going to recognize me and run me off the road." How many people are worried about someone with gun stickers on their car worrying running them off the road? This is absurd. She was at the Parkland, Florida shooting. That's what she survived. Says she fears being recognized in public and driven off the road by gun enthusiasts. I'm not going to say I don't think anybody cares, because I know there's a lot of people that do. Her and David Hogg here are making plenty of money, I think, on this, getting their 15 minutes of fame, if nothing else, over this anti-gun stuff. She said the notoriety does feel a little strange. It's not a bad thing, though, because it's nice to know how expansive our message has gotten. If people are listening because they like the people who are delivering the message, that's all the better, because it means we're doing our jobs, which is getting the message to everybody who needs to hear it. I never used to be afraid to have my head uncovered in public spaces. It's not settling to have people recognize you and come up to you when your head is uncovered versus when it's covered and nobody comes up to you. It's a weird feeling. So if I wear a hat and sunglasses, not as many people recognize me. We've gotten a lot of people registered to vote. Even if one person who normally wouldn't have gone to the midterms goes to the midterms this November, I personally feel that we've done our jobs. And I know it's going to be a lot more than one person. 4 million people turn 18 this year in time for the midterms. So if we get one of those kids registered and even half of them vote, we'll have a major impact. You know, I hate to agree with her, but I don't know if the numbers are absolutely correct or not, but somewhere in there is I don't know how many conservatives are turning voting age before the midterms, but more importantly than that, how many of them are going to vote? We have traditionally, from the dawn of time, since we started voting, it seems like it's always been the liberals or the Democrats, farther back, you know, the reasonable facsimile thereof, who have tried the hardest to destroy what we're not trying hard enough to save. And it's in my, as far back as I can remember, it's always been that way. And that's a sad commentary there, a sad, sad thing for America that this is happening this way. Let me check the chat room here and see what's going on. Speaking of the chat room, I'm going to tell you all something. I am about an inch away from going all podcast here. For two reasons. Podcast is vastly and overwhelmingly the largest audience of the show. We have between 7 and 10, 12, maybe 15 people in the chat room live doing when the show is on. So the Taker and all the hosts, you know, we break our neck to try to bring you live shows, and we can't seem to get enough of an audience here on the chat room. And I don't get me wrong, I appreciate each and every one of you. I'm not chastising you. I'm just telling you, you're great. You know, we get the same ones every night. And that's a wonderful thing. And then some of you go way back as far as the Watchmen. And I'm grateful for each and every one of you. But nevertheless, you know, we spend a lot of time putting these shows together and trying to bring you the best we can, and we still have, you know, hundreds of listeners on the podcast, and 10 come to the chat room. So I'm just playing with this idea. I don't know what the second reason is. We are footing the bill for this 100%. The Tinker pays for the website and everything. I pay for the podcast, the blog, my website, the servers, and everything that goes along with this. We have the same two or three people that donate here and there, and we're very thankful for that. But it's getting to a point where I feel like if we're going to continue to do this, we're either going to have our expenses covered adequately, or we're going to pull the plug on it. So I don't want the same two or three people plugging along here trying to keep the show going. You know, everybody's listening, including the podcast people. You know, there's ways you can do it through, you know, these expenses are monthly. It's not a once a year thing. It's every month we have expenses. The Tinker has expenses. I have expenses. And the same two or three people, it just barely keep us going along. We still ever anything other than above and beyond that comes out of our pocket. So this is going to change. It's going to change here real soon, or this there's going to be a big change to the format here. So you guys think about that. And like I said, it's not you guys. You know, you guys that are on the chat, it's the other people I'm talking about here. But anyway, what did I see? AZ Bounds, what age do you throw your stocking away? Well, just don't let them catch you, AZ Bound. If you don't get caught, you won't go to jail for having a stock in there for Santa. It's getting caught that's the problem. Yakima Glock, I think that's a fine idea. Thinks we capture every live wolf and release them smack dab in the middle of the state capitol campus. Yeah, I'm all for that. I'm with you, brother. That's a good idea. No. All right. Well, there you have it. I'm going to ease on towards the door here. I got things to do, places to go, and people to see. Trying to get some work done here before the next snowstorm comes in, which probably not going to be too long. And then we already are stocking up on our soups and stews and chili and stuff like that. Amy made a chili last night that was pretty dang, I think it was last night, yeah. Pretty dang good. That's one of the first times she's made chili, and it worked out real well. So it's that time of year. When it's getting down right to freezing and days are in the 40s and a little bit breezy, chili is good. Okay, you know what happens when I start babbling, right? It's time to go. So I'm going to get on out of here. We'll see you guys Friday for Liberty Lounge. And I appreciate each and every one of you that have joined us tonight. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.